Welcome to Intuitive Astrology with Molly McCord. Thank you so much for joining me today, as this is a Monday podcast episode where we focus on a particular astrological topic or theme. And today we're going to discuss the significant shift of Sedna entering Gemini, where she will stay until 2067. So Sedna enters Gemini the end of April 2024 and will be in this astrological sign for over four decades. Sedna is a dwarf planet beyond the scope of our solar system. In fact, she is known for having the extensive orbit of over 11,400 years. That's how long it takes her to orbit the sun. She has a very wide egg orbit where she stretches out very far and then makes that circle back towards the sun. And this type of orbit is quite fascinating to track because it means that she also will spend significant periods of time in one astrological sign and then less time in other astrological signs, depending on where she is in her orbit. And so it is common for Sedna to spend centuries in one astrology sign as she makes that huge orbit away from the sun. And then as she starts to come closer to the sun, her time in an astrology sign is shorter. So even though to us, it's like, wow, she's going to be in Gemini for over four decades. Four decades is a relatively short amount of time compared to the centuries she spent in previous astrology signs. So she enters Gemini, and she was briefly in Gemini back in 2023, where she literally just dipped her little toe in Gemini starting in June. That was June 16th, 2023, until November 22nd, 2023. Then she retrograded back into Taurus. And she has been in Taurus since 1966. So this is a big deal for Sedna to be changing astrology signs, to be moving forward into these new energies that honestly we're not familiar with. We don't know what this is going to bring about or bring up. When you're looking at these archetypal energies, you're going off of what the story holds, which I will touch on in a moment. We're looking at the themes of Gemini, of that astrological sign. We're putting the pieces together to create an understanding of what is possible with Sedna in Gemini. But the truth is, we don't know because we haven't experienced this energy before. And in fact, the last time that Sedna was in Gemini would have been over 11,000 years ago. So we are entering into a very new period of energies, and there's going to be things coming up here that will certainly bring up themes around Gemini expressions, needs, and archetypal energies. Now, before I get into that, just want to offer you a quick review of the mythology of Sedna. Now, I have done a few podcast episodes previously on her energy. You can find those on my YouTube channel. Search for Sedna and Pluto, and that will lead you to those episodes. But Sedna is a powerful Inuit goddess who lived in the Arctic, was known for her survival in Arctic conditions, and the version of her story has slight variations. And so I'm going to share with you just one version, and there are other versions that exist, but they paint a picture of her general archetypal themes. The story goes that Sedna was married off by her father in exchange for resources. One version is that she was married to a dog. Another version is that she was married to her father. All versions are quite disturbing, but essentially she was sacrificed for what was needed in exchange for her sovereignty. So Sedna lost her sovereignty in exchange for marriage, in exchange for some kind of union that she did not choose. And one version of the story is that she was in a kayak with her father and he threw her overboard to save himself. And she tried to hold on to that kayak or canoe in order to save herself. And her father wouldn't allow it. Her father then cut off her fingers and she fell into the depths of the ocean. And as she fell into those very cold Arctic ocean waves, her fingers became the sea life. They became the dolphins, the whales, the seals, the sharks. She became essentially one with the ocean. And so the mythology here is about not only the loss of sovereignty and sacrifice, it is about betrayal, anger, and pain. And then the story goes that Sedna fell to the bottom of the ocean floor where she resided, and she had to deeply process her energy and feelings within the darkness of the ocean. And this is where she gathered back and gained her power. And as that transformation occurred, as she used that anger, those feelings, everything that she experienced, alchemized them into something that would empower her, she became known as a goddess of the ocean, specifically the Arctic regions. And in Inuit legend, she became highly revered and respected by hunters and sailors who would then pray to Sedna for safe passage, for calm seas, and who would also pray to her for the abundance of sea life that they needed for survival. So Sedna became a powerful force of energy, and she could only be accessed through a shaman. That's because she was also known as a deity, and she had superhuman powers and became an energy that was so influential, especially around the underworld of the ocean depths, that a shaman was known for being the one who could communicate with her, access her energy, ask for fair passage, ask for abundance and manifestation for whatever someone was seeking. They were essentially looking for Sedna's blessing because she was so revered for her powerful energies and influence. And so based off of the mythology and the story of Sedna, we can see how, first of all, it's not a great story. It's a horrible story that leads us into deeper themes around transformation, alchemy, empowerment, what we do with the energies and experiences we have, how we use them to develop ourselves to become more conscious, as well as develop the fearlessness that's involved when we have to go into the depths of things that are very dark and very uncomfortable. And so similar to Persephone, who was kidnapped by Hades and taken into the underworld against her will, Persephone was abducted and spent half the year in the underworld with Hades, and then was returned to the earthly environment for the other half of the year. And this was something that became essentially her superpower. And for Persephone, it was known that only Mercury could access her. Only Mercury could traverse into the underworld to communicate with Persephone before her arrival in the spring. And so here you have similar themes between Sedna and Persephone involving personal free will, sovereignty, trauma, and you can also look at it through other themes as well as through the themes of patriarchy, masculine and feminine, and so on. But what I want to focus on is that we have experiences that in the moment are horrible, traumatic, emotional, intense. They feel powerless. They bring us into the depths of some scary energies that we're learning to navigate. Although in the moment, we're simply in survival, right? We're just doing what we can to get through and to take things at more of that primal level of experience. Persephone went into the underworld of Earth. Sedna goes into the underworld of the ocean. And so as she moves into Gemini, she is actually more comfortable in water signs. So here she's moving into an air sign, which is about logic, intelligence, reasoning, language, what we think about, what we communicate about, what we're learning. And so here we have right away something coming up that Sedna wants us to dig into around our mental programming, around our mental abilities, and whether we're going deep enough into understanding what is hidden or has been hidden in the abyss of our unconscious. And we are going to be accessing more parts of ourselves through the underworld of our minds. Now, keep in mind that the Sedna energy is about transformation and alchemy, but that means we have to go through something that needs to be transformed, that needs to be alchemized. Sedna is a very slow moving energy. She only covers 1 degree a year, and then we'll go back and forth across that degree point very slowly. So even though she enters Gemini and gets to 0 degrees of Gemini in April 2024, she's still working with that degree point into 2026. So it's a very slow moving journey with Sedna. That means it takes time for things to come up. So think of it as whatever is at the bottom of the ocean, the depths of the ocean where it's very dark. We can't even see what is surviving there, what's living there. It then takes time for that energy to slowly rise up to the surface. Similar to a scuba diver who can only come back up to the surface as slowly as the body can manage it. A scuba diver has to ascend slowly, maintaining a certain pace, working with the body's ability to rise underwater. And so Sedna is a slow ascension journey. Sedna moves slowly. She shows us where the energies rise slowly. And this could be quite interesting in Gemini, which is typically a fast-moving sprinter. Sedna is going to slow down the Gemini ascension process. It's going to ask us to slow down and think it through, to not make assumptions or to not leap to conclusions, and to make sure that we are continuing to pull in relevant information, important knowledge, to not overlook necessary details and data points. Gemini can be quite technical and quite focused on a process, how it will logistically operate and work. So Sedna in Gemini is going to bring up some discomforts in our own mental processing that we're going to have an opportunity to work through, to become more conscious of. But because it's a slower ascension journey, there will be things that will come to light that we'll see in a new way and we'll have to work through. This can certainly relate to mental health issues. This can relate to information we've had that is now being challenged, information that we thought was the full story. Well, Gemini is about storytelling, and Sedna is going to rise to the surface new parts of the story, specifically the Earth's story, knowledge and information that has been kept hidden and underground about the Earth's overall story. We will be rewriting narratives of history. History will be evolving with Sedna in Gemini, and in fact, it could be deeply related to what has been in the ocean, what we haven't touched, what we haven't seen, what has been on the ocean floors, or even the new species and new cellular entities that we're going to meet or discover. Sedna, being an Arctic energy, means that when she moves into a sign, she starts to thaw the energy of that sign. It starts to melt. It starts to be released. And so that's where the hidden knowledge will come from. That's where we're going to get more information. And this could certainly be revealed through what has been lost at sea, what has not been discovered. So think about all the shipwrecks, all the things that haven't been found. I'm thinking, of course, of treasure or other things that have existed on the planet that humanity has not had an introduction to. Sedna in Gemini is going to bring all of that slowly to light. Gemini is about knowledge and learning, what we want to understand better and how we will go into specific topics and themes in order to gather more information. And so I have an example here that's quite fascinating, that back in June 2023, when Sedna first entered Gemini, we had that Titanic submersible called the Titan that had the scientific intention of going to visit the Titanic. However, with Sedna just entering Gemini, it's almost like there was not permission from Sedna to voyage into the depths of the ocean. And unfortunately, 5 lives were lost through what is believed to have been an implosion of that submersible. So I find it fascinating that that event happened the very first week that Sedna entered Gemini, where she essentially shut down more information, more knowledge, and more discoveries related to the ocean floor and events in the ocean. So she rules scuba divers, snorkeling, spear fishing, anything done underwater, submarines, and so on and so forth. And so there's something here where Sedna in Gemini is going to potentially require our blessing and permission in order to gain more knowledge about the ocean, about what we haven't known before. And I feel too that this can open up new ways of communicating with sea life, with mammals, with fish and any beings, any entities in the sea and in the ocean. Perhaps Sedna in Gemini will open up what we haven't known before about communicating with sea life, as well as the language to use and understanding about what is being communicated. Sedna moving into Gemini brings alive not only all forms of communication, understanding, and gaining knowledge, it also opens up what we are doing on a daily basis, our daily errands, our daily life, where we go in a day. And is it healthy for us, or are we being drained? Are we feeling overworked? Do we have mental fatigue? Are we exhausted, but we've accepted it as our normal? There are energies here that are going to have us look at our unconscious programming to also understand more about how the mind works, how we can take care of ourselves even better, and even the effects of all of our daily activities on our brain, and more specifically, the effects of our phones, electronics, computers, how that is changing our neural programming, for better or for worse, how it can now be difficult to settle the mind, where you might find that you have this unconscious habit or pattern to just look for something, sort of like you feel your hand just naturally reaching for your phone, or you're reaching for the remote control to turn on the television, or there's something that you're mentally seeking in order to fill in a void, or if there's a lot going on, you've got a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress, a big to-do list. This is where we're going to have opportunities to potentially slow that down and understand how we can only take so much, that we're at capacity. And what do we do to take care of ourselves? To take care of ourselves mentally, physically, and emotionally? To not think that our minds always have to be active and thinking and solving, planning and anticipating? And so Sedna and Gemini will bring us into those depths, those fears, bring up potentially worst case scenarios that we need to be aware of, But remember, sedna is about transformation alchemy. So then if we step into that understanding of, okay, how am I going to transform this for myself? How am I going to pull in new habits that are calming, that decrease my mental activity? How am I going to drop into my body so that I'm not overly fixated on the mind and I'm working with more of my energy systems? Sedna in Gemini is going to guide us into this ability to transform our mental fatigue and overstimulation into another experience. But in order to do so, we have to face the facts. We have to understand what path we're on and be willing to correct. Now, Gemini is the sign of duality. It's the energy of doing things twice, whether that is simultaneously with the right hand and the left hand, or whether that is doing something twice because it is a rough draft and then a final version. This is where we'll probably need to experience trial and error around what to do differently, what works for you. So stay open, stay flexible, stay adaptable. That is a strength of Gemini, where you're like, let me just test this. Let me see if anything comes from this. Nope, that didn't work. No problem. Let me try something else over here. So that is going to be part of our problem solving. That's going to be part of what we need to stay mindful of, because Sedna in Gemini is going to bring up some very uncomfortable thoughts, some uncomfortable information, things that we probably don't want to acknowledge at first, but we need to see it. These are even memories, repressed memories, data, details, things that have been hidden in the abyss of our unconscious that are coming to light, that are coming up again from the depths of the ocean floor through a slow ascension process so that we can see it more fully and remember that we have choices. We have choices here. Now, the other thing about Sedna and Gemini to stay mindful of is that it also means there are false narratives, untruths, and hidden intentions happening behind the scenes. And that is part of the darker side of Sedna and Gemini, where we don't know the full agenda. The full story is not revealed. So we have questions, we have inquiries, and we're meant to stay curious. We're meant to stay mentally open to what we don't know yet, and to also understand that we aren't only our minds. We have not only our physical selves, but our intuition. And so I feel like this could be a rising of intuitive understandings that the mind might be seeking to compartmentalize. The mind could feel challenged by an intuitive knowingness. Let's say you have had an opening in your clairs, your claircognizance, your clairsentience, your clairvoyance, whatever it might be. That can take time to fully trust, especially if it's fighting your rational or logical mind. Well, Sedna in Gemini is going to bring up some things to really assess and understand, but you might find that your intuitive self already has an understanding, already knows an answer, has already tapped into something that you feel is truthful. So we could have this back and forth that we're dancing between. This energy spectrum can feel quite wide, like a giant energy spectrum. And then we're understanding, okay, I could overthink this. I could have tons of questions. I might have a lot going on, but what feels honest and true to me? And that probably won't be from the mind. It'll probably be from your intuition, your spiritual senses, or something else that's operating at a higher frequency than the mind. Sedna in Gemini is going to reprogram how our brains work. It's going to change the type of language we use. It's going to shift how the mind works and what we rely on the mind for. And I realize those are big statements. Those could sound ridiculous. That could sound implausible. But Sedna in Gemini is also trining Pluto in Aquarius. These are both strong air signs connected to communications, thinking, processing, and the mind's abilities. They are deeply transformative energies. And as they make a trine, we're opening up into new potentials for communication that is significant in human evolution. That's where we're at. We are opening up into a new paradigm in human evolutionary growth. Because Sedna moves so slowly, Sedna will be at 0 degrees, trining Pluto in Aquarius, July 18th to September 1st, 2024, and then again, November 19th to December 30th, 2024. So basically the second half of 2024, we have Sedna in Gemini trining Pluto in Aquarius. And then it does extend into 2025, although it's not an exact trine, but it's still within orb. So the second half of 2024 is going to bring about developments that will have long-reaching and long-term effects on human evolution and humanity. Now, we're already aware of AI, artificial intelligence. We're already aware of its existence, of where it's implemented, also where it hasn't been disclosed that it's implemented, where it's already working behind the scenes. AI is being trained in various industries, workplaces, professions. Basically, I'm seeing nearly all areas of life are being tested with different artificial intelligence options. And this is happening behind the scenes. It's hidden. We don't fully see it. Again, it's not disclosed, but it's happening. In fact, keep in mind that when something is debuted publicly, it's because it's already been tested, perhaps for years, before it's revealed to the public. And a lot of testing can occur through private funding, as well as through military and defense budgets and testing facilities. So when things come forward and they say, we're doing a Neuralink programming test on our first human patient, well, keep in mind, that's just what's disclosed publicly. How many people was it tested on where it didn't work? It wasn't operable. It didn't happen successfully. It could be the first clinical trial for the public. But keep in mind, there's a lot that's not disclosed, hidden agendas, confidential, behind the scenes, in order to understand and work with this programming. So that is, in fact, a good example here of how humans are experiencing a significant evolutionary shift. And the Neuralink programming, the Neuralink implant, is an example of that. So we're entering into territory we've never been in before, and we don't know the consequences. Of course, there are ethical and moral issues at hand. There's ongoing testing. There's things that aren't known, and so on and so forth. But this is an example of how Sedna in Gemini and Pluto in Aquarius are reprogramming, literally reprogramming the human brain. And of course, it's presented as some kind of celebration, and isn't this exciting? Wow, wow, wow. Okay, well, what's been happening in the military? What's been happening with soldiers in various militaries for years, if not decades now? What has been going on this behind the scenes that isn't successful? And so with this energy that we're moving into, these signify big shifts, permanent changes, new things to be aware of, and also new levels of responsibility. New levels of responsibility of the management of power with Pluto in Aquarius, new consequences to be aware of and managing. And where does this turning point lead? Because with these technologies, with the air signs of Gemini and Aquarius, things happen fast. These are quick moving energies. And that is a big shift from when Sedna was in Taurus and Pluto was in Capricorn. They did have a trine in the late degrees of those earth signs, but those are slower moving energies. Now they're in the air signs. Things are more dynamic. There's more happening. There's a lot happening at once. And it can even be difficult to keep track of all the details, all the specifics, and everything going on. So this is part of a quantum level growth that shows up when you have these two planets in air signs. Things are happening and they're leapfrogging and they're exploding and they're moving ahead at such a fast speed that we can be further down the road before we even understand what that means exactly. Now, if you look back in history, there have been key times when new forms of communication have been very beneficial. You have Gutenberg and his printing press. You have the invention of the home telephone line. You have radio and television in the house. You could look at, of course, the invention of the home computer, that giant, beautiful DOS computer that you had sitting on a desk, heavy, mammoth. But look at that. Look at those green digits and letters on that black screen. I remember this because my dad had one, and it was like having this weird foreign loud entity downstairs. It was like, what is that? It's a home computer? What do you do with it? Well, now, of course, we have our phones, our smartphones, everything on our phones. So it's safe to say that developments in communication have benefited humanity, have brought about significant benefits and leaps forward. But now we're at this new threshold that is impacting humanity's evolutionary trajectory, and we're really going into foreign territory with unknown problems and consequences, as well as, of course, beautiful, advantageous developments and rewards. And so part of our personal responsibility here, because obviously this is a huge topic, this is a huge area that is affecting each of us at an individual level, it comes back to your individual responsibility and how you personally want to implement these new technologies into your life. You might feel like you don't have a choice. Considering the 5G, 6G, and 7G frequencies that are surrounding the planet, and even how those frequencies are affecting sea life, are affecting animals, are affecting migration habits and primal senses, and interfering with what has been the natural habitats and organic environments on our planet. Now we have artificial intrusions that are continuing to grow and escalate and become more commonplace. And so we have to maintain our own level of personal responsibility. But this also brings up the story of Sedna, where she didn't have sovereignty. She didn't have her personal will, and instead was deeply traumatized and victimized by other powers in her story. I think that this focus on air signs, Sedna and Gemini, Pluto and Aquarius, means we're going to have to really think things through and not just buy in to what's exciting or what is possible, but to understand the pros and the cons and the long-term effects. Pluto in Aquarius is changing the long-term consequences on this planet. It's bringing us into more futuristic, or what we would consider futuristic, experiences and timelines. And the energy is going to continue to accelerate and pick up. So you can look at what choices you want to make in your Gemini energies, what you want in your daily environment to be a part of your immediate world, how you want to communicate and use technology, use communications, what is correct for you. And perhaps that is something you go back and forth on as well, because there are things that might not feel like you have power over. For example, the smart meters that are now on homes, those are something that have been installed by local governments, local perhaps mandates. And if you wanted to have that taken off your home, maybe you have to go through a certain procedure and whatnot. I know nothing about having them removed, but it's an example of how these new technologies have become commonplace and are existing in our daily environments where we don't even notice them at times either. Both Sedna and Pluto in these air signs means that we also have opportunities to open up our communication skills, to go higher in what we are seeing. I'm seeing this as openings in the third eye chakra, really blasting open, becoming more visceral and more clear, perhaps even sensing that you're able to tap into more ways of communicating with people, either through images or through accessing other timelines. It can be through telepathy, through psychic connections, imagery, clairvoyance, claircognizance. We will have the opportunity to live with these abilities more regularly, and they will be a part of our daily experience. Of course, that is a personal choice, and it does depend on each individual's energy, especially if you've done more healing, you've done more spiritual work, emotional clearing, body work, then your energy is lighter and clearer, and you can access more of these higher spiritual abilities easier. We're also going to see our language changing, languages shifting, which we're already seeing through emojis, which are basically modern hieroglyphics. But we're going to have new languages, new communication styles. I see this as being able to read energy even faster, reading someone's energy, their aura, more quickly. This is something, too, that I'm just remembering that's just coming to mind at a personal level. A number of years ago, I noticed I started to have the ability to read another person's energy and world more efficiently and more quickly. And I realized what the pattern was. They would say a keyword, some kind of keyword. And keep in mind, I never expected it. I was never looking for it. But they would say a keyword, and it was similar to a microchip. And I would receive that keyword that they said in a sentence or whatever the case may be. And I would suddenly have this big understanding of their energy, their life, what was going on for them. And that keyword was kind of like a microchip where it held a lot of data and information. And then I would start processing what they were saying or what was going on for them, the deeper layers of their energy, of something maybe that they were moving through. Okay, this is the first time I'm explaining this, so I hope it makes sense. It's also the first time I'm able to explain it because I never thought about it before. But again, this started for me years ago, and I think it's a great example of how we have access to new language, new understanding of energy that could be new for the human experience or could just be something that's new to you in this lifetime. So stay aware of that for yourself. Stay aware of what is opening up for you that's communicating something that you wouldn't typically access through traditional means. I started to understand it as a form of claircognizance, but it's a little different than that. And that's what I mean by new forms of language and communications opening up to us, where what we have previously used, or even the spiritual gifts that you came in with to access, you could find them expanding and evolving into something else and something new. And just to clarify, by keyword, it's not as if there's some special word that a person has to say. It's almost like whatever they said that had a lot of energy or weight or meaning to them, it was like this entry point into even more. So again, I'm trying to describe this in a way that makes sense, but understand that we're going to be moving into new forms of energetic communication with each other, where we're going to know things, we're going to feel things. We are going to work with communications at a whole new level. And that is part of humanity's evolution at this time. And of course, you could already be feeling it. You could already be sensing it and in this energy. And now you realize that's what it is. That's what's been going on. I've been receiving these downloads about these new communication gifts and new ways of understanding energy. So Sedna moving into Gemini is going to bring us into the depths, into the underbelly, and again, that deep abyss of hidden Gemini expressions, which can be the trickster, which can be duplicity and inconsistency, which can be not knowing what to believe or what to think, an overwhelm of information, and you don't know what is the truth, Sedna in Gemini is also then going to be slowly ascending us through these Gemini themes so that we rise to the surface with more expertise and knowledge around Gemini expressions, what it means to be more mindful and truthful, what it means to be more conscious of not only our communication, but our mental patterns. And so this will be an extensive theme that we're moving through again into 2067. Now, one more thing to note as I'm recording this in April 2024, we're going to see Jupiter move into Gemini about a month after Sedna does. So Jupiter is going to be conjunct Sedna May 25th to May 31st, 2024. And there could be something big, celebratory, or successful that comes to light. Perhaps it's an achievement, it's something that was done well, and it relates to these Gemini themes. And keep in mind that this also begins Jupiter in Gemini's trine to Pluto in Aquarius as well. So we're going to have a lot of energy here in these air signs. And because Sedna is in Gemini for so long, over 40 years, that means we're going to have multiple cycles of Jupiter in Gemini working with Sedna. Plus, of course, pretty soon we're going to have Uranus in Gemini. That's going to be exciting. That's going to be a high octave, high pace energy. Not to mention further down the line, we'll see Saturn in Gemini working with Sedna and even Neptune in Gemini later on in about 25 to 26 years. So with all of these planets that will also be moving through Gemini, it's going to reinforce not only the Gemini themes, but how we are significantly shifting our human language, our human communication skills, and how we think, process, and interact with our local environment. So this is a big deal. And I hope this has helped you get an understanding of these energies for yourself, as well as for the world at large, because we are entering into new terrain. We don't know where it's going to go. And that is part of the adventure of it all as well. For yourself, you can look at where you have beginning degrees of Gemini in your natal chart, specifically 0 to 1 degrees of Gemini, as that's where Sedna is going to be hanging out for a number of years. And if you have planets or points at 0 or 1 degrees of Gemini, she is working with you very deeply, and she's going to be working with these themes for you personally over the next number of years. Then the other thing you can do is identify where transiting Pluto in Aquarius is in your chart, because now you're going to see the trine happening for you between 0 degrees of Gemini, working with that transiting Pluto at 0 degrees of Aquarius. Those two houses in your chart are where the energy is the most active, where these themes are going to be prominent, and where you're also undergoing some significant transformation through the Sedna and Pluto energies. So this is a big topic, but I hope this has been interesting and fascinating, and then has also helped you hone in on what's going on in the world at large around these themes as well. As a reminder, I have a presentation on Sedna in Gemini in my 2024 Soul Growth Astrology program, which you can log into or purchase, and I explain more about these energies. Plus, I talk about the Galactic Grand Trine that is going to be underway as Sedna in Gemini not only trines this Pluto in Aquarius, but also connects with the Super Galactic Center at 2 degrees of Libra. So this is big energy as well, big galactic energy. And I hope it helps you see more of how you are shifting and evolving at this time. So check out that program. It is on sale for only $33 if you use coupon code 2024. And I hope this helps you expand not only your understanding of yourself, but the wide world of astrology and all the awesome things that we can learn through it. As always, thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to connecting with you again through my podcast, where I have new episodes for you every Wednesday and Monday. Wishing you a beautiful journey ahead. Thank you so much for your energy, presence, and time, and I'll see you back here soon.